Well, this week, BBC Two's nightly flagship Newsnight got a new lead anchor, as they say in the trade. Step forward, Evan Davis, of Today programme and Dragon's Den fame.
Children at school, should they primarily be taught when they're doing weights? Primarily be taught about kilograms or taught about pounds and ounces and stone?
I think I'd still go for pounds and ounces.
Would you?
And it was his approach and style of interviewing that has so far caused most comment. You heard it there with David Cameron on Monday night's programme. Definitely not, and you can almost put the not in inverted commas, Jeremy Paxman. So, does Evan Davis' arrival at Newsnight herald a new start for the programme and even a bit of a moment in terms of the direction of political interviews, widely seen, not least by Newsnight's current editor, Ian Katz, as essentially his words, not mine, boring snoring. I'm joined by veteran one-time political editor Adam Bolton of Sky News and former Newsnight editor Sean Kevill. Sean, you've seen Evans, a couple of Evans' performances, his first foray into Newsnight. Can he do it for them?
Yes, I think he can. Evan used to be my economics editor and I have a huge regard for him. He has a huge brain. He's incredibly good at breaking down complex issues, which is always good in interviewing and things like that when you need to try and hone in on the bit that's most important. He is also brings, I think, a different hinterland to the programme. He's a comprehensive guy, from comprehensive school. And I think that is refreshing. It is going to be difficult. I think he's been good.
Now, Paxman, whatever people thought about him, I mean, he always offered the prospect of what you might call theatre. And it was notable that once upon a time, and I remember interviewing a former editor in this very room, that Paxman, the ratings for Paxman were substantially higher than they were for anybody else. No discredit to the others, but whereas they were just kind of regular, he offered the prospect of theatre and the audience kind of smelt it and anticipated it. First of all, is that still necessary, theatre, and can Evan do it?
Yeah, theatre is important. What really attracts you to an interview, wherever it's done, a political interview, is the sort of sense of being in a cockpit and, who is going to come out on top. Now, there are different ways of doing that. And I think that, what you always have to bear in mind is what the audience wants to get out of the interview. And, I think that Evan brings his own take to what he thinks the audience wants to take out of the interview. And I think that, he has a good mind. And so I think seeing the mind at work, when you see the battle between two minds and whether this mind works faster than your mind is working as they're doing the interview, that's what I think the audience appreciates.
Adam Bolton, there's been a lot of talk about the political interview being stuck, stulted, stilted, sort of over, really. What did you make of Evan's interview with Cameron? Because it did take a very different approach, didn't it? It wasn't kind of, here's the policy, can you cost it? Can you pay for it? All the stuff you'd expect. It was kind of the litmus test, imperial versus metric measurements, two men kissing, sweet or unacceptable, and so on.
Well, I have to say it didn't really surprise me very much, probably because I've sat in more rooms with prime ministers being interviewed than most people. And certainly every time a prime minister goes on a regional tour, he will be asked by local news anchors, what sort of underpants do you wear? Do you support City or United? That type of thing. And Evan, to a certain extent, was developing that. And, to me, I'll be honest about it, while I've found the interview reasonably entertaining, what I want out of interviews is more information, and I didn't really feel that it gave me any more information other than I didn't know. Is the Prime Minister in favour of gays kissing in public? Well, he's the man who brought in gay weddings, so it's hardly surprising that he's going to say yes to that. To me, the big story of the week at the party conferences has been the issue of who's going to pay for continued austerity. Evan, I would have thought, was very well placed to ask those sort of questions. He didn't do it. So am I going to stay up another night to listen to another interview? I'm probably going to be less inclined, even though it was perfectly enjoyable to watch.
Do you think, though, that the audiences are turned off by the detailed forensic sort of... Well, I say Paxman. Paxman's a bit more than detailed forensic, isn't he? He adds something else in the Paxman mixture that's not the kind of Dimbleby detailed forensic.
I think the good news for Newsnight is that they've clearly now got an editor in Ian Katz and a presenter in Evan who are singing off the same page, and you very much need to do that. And clearly there was a lot of tension involving Jeremy. And to a certain extent, what everyone involved in interviewing, what I try to do, what others try to do, is you want an interview where you get something new out of someone. And there are lots of different ways of doing that. Jeremy had a particularly theatrical, confrontational, people in the BBC used to call it a sneering style. For a time that worked, but then for a time people knew how to respond to that. So you want to move people into a new sort of territory.
So here's something that Evan Davis said in a speech he made about interviews. This is how he described it. I think the worst of you... You play it as defensively as you can. Your strategy of being defensive is justified by me being aggressive. And worst of all, me being aggressive is justified by the obfuscation and nonsense of you being defensive. We're now locked into the low road. Your strategy justifies mine. My strategy justifies yours. In other words, stand still.
Yeah, exactly. I think I would agree with a lot of that. And I think coaxing people in a different sort of way. I mean, David Frost's famous way of relaxing people and then saying, do you really think that? I mean, I think that also was a way of doing it, convincing an interviewer that you understand them, that you're on their side, which is certainly something Jeremy never did, can be a way of working. But I go back to this point. You have to constantly shift your technique. And you know, what I would say about the Prime Minister's interview was he was very happy to do that interview. He clearly understood the showbiz. He did a lot of other interviews during party conferences, and there are always all these things. The timing of the interview, who chooses the location, is it pre-recorded or is it live? And all of that shifts the balance between the seeker after information and the person who, frankly, if they're a politician, may very often... want to say nothing in the sense nothing changes in the course of that interview.
Well, unfortunately, we still have a politician still on the line. Louise, are you still there?
I am.
Let me ask you this then. Do you think, is there anything that interviewers could do in terms of the style or approach they take that these days will get any more out of senior politicians than they are prepared to give? Or is it all so professional and so organised, it doesn't matter what you do?
Well, yes, it is, of course, professional and organised. And when you're interviewed a lot, you become familiar with the styles, as I was when I was an MP. You become familiar with the styles of the people who are asking you to go on. I do tend to agree with Adam that actually Jeremy's style overall is the one that truly works, because people want to see their politicians put on the spot. They want to see them tested. Andrew Neil is another fantastic interviewer. I looked with sort of fascinated horror at some of his Labour Party interviews, for example. He had Chucky Umunna on and said, if Scottish Labour aren't a bunch of non-entities, can you name three of them right after the referendum? And the poor guy couldn't. I mean, for a politician, it was like watching The Hunger Games. And I think that's the kind of political theatre that people really tune in for. Now, I've also been interviewed by Evan Davis on the Today programme, and I think he's pretty good. I hope he'll bring a more combative style to Newsnight. You could be sure on Newsnight you'd be challenged whether you were a Tory or Labour. It didn't matter. Jeremy was going to challenge you, and you knew that going in. And people have to remember, it is news night, it's not chat night. If you stayed up till 11:20, you want to see not exactly blood on the carpet, but you do want to see them challenging the politicians of the day.
That brings me to the next question, I suppose. Sean, what about the future for Newsnight? Gillian Reynolds, the radio critic, been on this programme many times, wrote a piece in which she talks about former cabinet minister Peter Mandelson. She said that he decided that because the interviewer asks knee-jerk questions, barely listens to the answer, ticks each one off and moves on to the next, it's not worth going to bed late for. And then she says, Newsnight is expensive and lacking in political significance and public popularity. And I fear for Evan Davis, she says, the programme he's joining is haunted. I hope Katz, that's the editor, possesses suitable powers of exorcism. Do you think it's over for Newsnight? Has the news cycle and everything about the news world we inhabit, the internet, has it moved against it?
I think trying to reinvent Newsnight, which is sort of what has to happen, I think, after the sort of Savile debacle, is a big task, and I don't think you should underestimate it. I think it's really good that BBC News has actually really backed the programme. It's put more money in. I mean, one of the reasons...
What's its USP, though, today? Once upon a time, in his pomp, it was Paxman.
In a pompous part, but in the end, it has to go back to... It became a sort of sub-news genre, though. It was so sucked dry of resources and put into a small studio. It was hard to actually do the current affairs part, because effectively it is a daily current affairs programme as opposed to a news programme. And while you definitely need the news lines, I think the extra resources that have gone in are starting to allow it to do slightly more current affairs things, and that is what it should do. And I think if the BBC vacates that territory, I think there's a big question over public service broadcasting. What is it doing?
Okay, Adam, briefly, very briefly, only a few seconds left. Newsnight, yes or no for the long term?
I think it's in a very difficult position because there's been a fragmentation of the media. There's so much more out there. And when you're talking about interviews, it takes two to tango. And I don't see politicians being vastly willing to do it, which may be where Evan's charms are really going to come into their own.
Adam Bolton, Sian Kevill and Louise Mensch, many thanks indeed. That is all we have time for this week. As ever, do feel free to get in touch through the website, where you can email us or download a copy of the programme. If you use Twitter, you can join the conversation, as they say, about any of the topics in today's programme using the hashtag R4MediaShow. So thanks for listening, and do join us again next week. Same time, same place. Thank you for downloading the Media Show podcast from BBC Radio 4. For more information, go to our website, which is bbc.co.uk/radio4/mediashow.